sit back and relax. It's time for the Alliance Chat.
Hello and welcome to the Webcomic Alliance podcast, where we talk about issues and topics facing comic creators using the World Wide Web to get their message out there. Today I am taking over, I'm Robin Childs, and I'm taking over for Byron Wilkins. I'm going to try and fill his shoes. I probably won't do it as well as him. He had that amazing radio voice, but I'll give it my best shot. Today I am joined by Webcomic Alliance regulars Don Griffin.
Hey Robin, how's it going?
It's going.
You're doing good.
Okay. And Chris Flick.
Hello, everybody. Embry.
Oh, and I forgot to say, of Zorfbert and Fred and comic Capes and Babes. See, I've already messed it up, Byron.
Yeah,
I'm
everybody
sorry.
Knows it already anyway.
I would have said it at the end.
We also are very excited to invite and welcome two brand new members to the Webcomic Alliance. Christina Major of Sombulus.
Hi, how's it going?
Excellent. Yay. And Jacques Niem of Not So Super.
Hey, everyone, and I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, we are happy guys. To have you. So today we were just going to try and let our listeners get to know Jacques and Christina better in sort of an interviewee style, find out about their journey and their stories and what makes them unique and what they bring to the table that our listeners might be interested in. So speaking of, what is different about you compared to the other Webcomic Alliance folks?
Yeah. All right. Go so I'm Christina. I live in Los Angeles over in California. So I'm probably the most West Coast person. That's pretty different, right?
That's cool. Yeah.
That is different, actually. I don't know if we've ever had a West Coast person.
Am I the westernmost Webcomic Alliance member now?
Yeah. It used to be me. So.
Okay. Well, I can tell you all about San Diego Comic-Con and how to avoid it. That's pretty great. But I don't know. I feel like I've got a lot of common ground with a little bit of all of you. Over the last 2 years, I've been jumping into Kickstarters and conventions. You'll hear me talking a lot about marketing and graphic design, which is what I do for a living. And specifically, the webcomic platform of publishing and social media experience, just making and sharing comics on the internet. Those are things I'm really passionate about. Love learning about it, trying to crack the code of how to reach out to people and promote yourself on the web.
If you ever find those silver bullets, like, let me know.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any true silver bullets. It's kind of finding your own style and getting to know the platforms that work for you and the things that might not work for you. It's all a balance, but I love learning about it, and I've been on the internet for, you know, since the early 90s when I had my AOL account and
AOL. Yes.
Yeah. Got mail.
Got the floppy disks.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all having a nostalgia moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a golden time. The AOL chat rooms and IMing people and stuff. And the internet has certainly grown since then. But we've gone through a lot of just interesting stuff in the history of the internet. There was kind of the live journal phase and the deviant art thing. And now we're in
MySpace.
MySpace, my goodness. It's a good... It's an interesting time to be on the internet for sure, and especially with Kickstarters and you know, monetizing that kind of thing and trying to really grow your audience. We've got all kinds of tools that we never had before. So yeah, it's
Patreon.
Fun.
It's an interesting time.
Patreon, yes.
Yep.
Yes. I got one of those too, but I haven't figured that one out, honestly.
I don't know if anyone's completely figured it out, but boy, it'd be nice to know. It'd be nice to know the tricks there. How about you, Jock? What's your story and what makes you unique in the comics world?
All right. Well, my name is Jacques Niem, and I'm on the opposite end of the coast. I'm in North Carolina, so the East Coast, the furthermost East Coast. And I am a independent, you know, during the day, I am a web designer, marketer for a nonprofit. But at night, I am a publisher for Not So Super Comics. And the thing that makes me unique and is the fact that I don't have a webcomic, which is kind of weird, but but I am a fan of comics as well as the business sides of making comics and creating and publishing. We're working with artists and figuring out how to crowdfund and create books, you know, on a tight budget. So I think all that those different subjects are interesting enough for other viewers or listeners to want to learn more about making comics.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is that you are pursuing kind of a different model than a lot of what we're doing. And it kind of reminds me of what Dawn's kind of working on with her new project, which is that you don't necessarily post it on the web, but you do have a web presence. You do use social media, you do use crowdfunding to get the word out about what you do. So it's an interesting mixture of kind of the more traditional print style that actually really utilizes a lot of the same webcomic creator tools.
Yeah, actually that's a good thing you mentioned. Yes, that's exactly what I've been trying to do, is do something different from my peers. A lot of the other people who do comic books, traditional print comic books, tend to just rely on going to conventions and selling their books. But for me, I've been using the web to try to sell on my online store and trying to use Facebook and Twitter and generating more interest online for people to want to get printed goods. So that's definitely been my route, and it's been working out pretty good.
You also collaborate, which is different than the rest of us who are more solo acts. But we've had guests on too that sort of are also like a writer artist team. You take that one step farther though.
Yeah, trying to manage it all, that's a lot of fun. That's the one part that makes that's another unique piece, is that I am not the artist, but I am a graphic designer, and I used to be into heavy into art in my younger days, but now I'm a little more towards managing artists and working with them to kind of create whatever vision that we have together and collaborating on projects. So I really do enjoy collaborating and, you know, learning and using my skill of kind of helping people hone their crafts and us collaborating and creating something new.
Awesome. That's really, actually really great addition, because we get a lot of questions from people saying, I can draw, but I don't really know how to write a comic, or vice versa. I can write, but I can't, you know, draw for shit. So, you know, they always like, how do I find someone, or how do I work together with someone? Or, you know, a lot of writers who look to artists, and artists are too busy to help them.
So I have a lot of stories, and if anybody has questions, I'll be more than happy to share.
Perfect. Exactly. Well, that's why we wanted to add some people in that definitely offer a different experience and have new and interesting things to bring to the table that the rest of us kind of, you know, we all get stuck in our ruts, you know, and so it's nice to open different windows and see that there's different ways of doing this, which is kind of the whole point behind the Alliance in the first place, is there's not one path to success. Mm-hmm. So
Dawn also inadvertently brought up something that I forgot to mention to you guys, which is swearing is okay, but I personally am going to attempt to cut back. I'm sure it will last all of like half an hour, but I'm going to try.
Good to know. I'll use it for emphasis.
Emphasis, yeah. Not no casual, just, you know. You're the classy one, I can tell.
Keeping it classy, all right.
I am the opposite of that.
I have a quick question. Where in North Carolina?
I'm in Cary, North Carolina, but I work in Raleigh, the capital of North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So any chances of you going to Heroes this year?
Yes, I actually am going to be there on Saturday. I'll be sitting along with my friend Jay Roberts, who does comics as well. So we'll be over there. I'll be selling some books and seeing some people.
Are you only going to be there Saturday?
Yeah, I'm only going to be there Saturday because I have some other things on Friday and Sunday, and it was a free chair offered to me, so I would definitely be there.
But, okay, cool. The reason why I'm asking is because I'm going to be there back after a 2-year hiatus, so okay. We have to try to hook up and meet face to face.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'll look out for you then.
And yep. Speaking of conventions, Christine and I will also be at Phoenix next week. I totally forgot about that. I'm still in denial that I'm going to be driving 13 hours to get to a show.
Oh my God.
And that it's that, like it's been yeah. looming all week, and I have been so unproductive because I keep like every time I think about it, I'm like, nope, nope, not happening. It's not real. It's not real.
13 hours. Oh, I'm such a spoiled brat. I'm worried about a show that's I have to drive to. Like, oh, next weekend I have to drive 3 hours to get down to get down to awesome con.
People.
I know.
Yeah. So welcome to the West, land of big old states with nothing in them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about a 6 or 7 hour drive for me to Phoenix. It's not too bad. I've done it before. But yeah, it's supposed to be a really good show. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be my first year at Phoenix. And I've heard Heroes is really good too, but I'm super jealous of all of the East Coast stuff that I hear about. I'm like, there is no way I can afford that.
Sometimes I can't afford it either, so don't worry.
So we shouldn't be too jealous. The grass is not as green on the other side as we think.
Green all the time.
No, what I am, you can totally be. I'm so spoiled. Like I'm on the uber privilege at being in Philly because I mean I got New York right above me. I got Baltimore and DC right below me. I mean there's just so many, and it's so crowded right in this area that like just in the neck of the woods right around me. I can go to a library con that's in my neighborhood.
And that was not the case at all. It didn't. It exploded in the last 10 years because, I've lived in Washington D.C. since wee little lad, and it didn't used to be like this at all. It was you're lucky to get a little hotel comic book shop con every now and then, but yeah, in the last couple of years, it's really exploded.
Yeah, it definitely has. I think it's hitting its peak. I think that we're going to start seeing some of the smaller shows that kind of started up randomly start falling off. Even people are stopping. Like, I'm not going to Wizard World Philly this year.
I wonder if we're going to hit a period of
the bigger ones.
Of, like, stabilization,
Yeah.
It's been going up and up and up, and cons have been showing up everywhere, like mushrooms. And I just keep wondering, is it going to flatten out somewhere in here or even start going down and it
or
in
becoming
terms
something
of attendance
else. It will separate, it won't be a Comic-Con anymore, but it'll be the entertainment show, and then they won't offer Artist Alley tables to people anymore.
Yeah.
So it becomes its own thing, and then they're even New York Comic-Con, it got so big that it's a juried show now that you have to be accepted into as an artist. And now they offer, it's called, I always forget what it's called, special edition. It's run by the same people, but it's just Artist Alley. So they start offering, now here's the Artist Alley that all those other artists that we had to reject can go to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, the West Coast, too, is a little like that. Of course, San Diego Comic-Con used to be a Comic-Con. Now it's just a spectacle. It is a zoo. There are people swarming everywhere. If you wanted to sell comic books there, it is unfortunately not a place you can do that anymore. So that's kind of what happens on the other end of the spectrum. When the smaller things drop off, the larger things just get huger and huger. And of course, we're spitting distance from Hollywood. So when Hollywood sees an opportunity like, oh, okay, well, we have all these Marvel movies. They're based on comic books. We're going to be talking about, our new movie coming up and everyone's going to want to see our celebrities. And where does that leave smaller artists and stuff? It's a difficult line because you want to see these shows succeed, but how is that actually helping us? Or is it just driving up table prices? I don't know.
Hard to say.
But I think it's on the verge of tipping some way. Something is going to change. It's eventually, some of these shows are so big, like the venues can't even hold them anymore. And yeah, something is going to tip.
Yeah.
But, maybe the
so
next
there's
couple
still a
years.
Lot of great shows out there. I mean, WonderCon is excellent.
Emerald City. I really want to go to Emerald City. Yeah.
I went there this year. It was amazing. I got this like stupid half table thing. They were doing like comp tables. I got the table for free.
Oh, wow.
like they you could apply and it was a juried sort of thing for Artist Alley Half Table. And I'm like, okay, I'll apply. We'll see what happens. And I was accepted and it was a free table.
That's awesome.
I sold a lot of stuff. The audience was great. I got a great location. Emerald City has like a weird split Artist Alley where there's like the front and the back, and I was at the front. So I don't know how I'd do if I was at the back, but it was still very excellent. I had all kinds of great people, very enthusiastic about comics. So I will definitely go back if they give me a free table again. I'll definitely go back. But I'm not expecting that again. That was probably a one-time deal.
And Jock, you had your
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you had your first con recently, didn't you?
Yeah, first for this year, I had one. And to piggyback on some of the things y'all said, for me personally, I like to get to go to conventions that are like no more than an hour away from me. For the exact same reasons y'all were saying, is the larger ones seem to end up being a spectacle. And for me, I've been noticing that the smaller ones that are like really close to my house tend to have the most like interested people and more open to trying to look at a new comic book and just curious people who are just walking by and trying to check new things out. So it's not that I don't like the larger ones, but I do a lot better with the smaller ones personally than I do larger ones. So I kind of like that personal feel of being with just, you know, people who are new to comics or who are specifically looking for independent stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to find that balance. There's like this medium size show and it just and sometimes the show just starts exploding and it gets really big and you lose that.
Yeah.
You know. But there's just this magical in between area and it some of the shows stay that way. I'm doing one in 2 weeks. It's called Sci-Fi Valley. It's in the middle of Pennsylvania, like Bumble fucking Pennsylvania. And it's been going for a lot of years, and I know it's not very big. It's probably a medium-sized show, but everyone I know that says they go, they just say they sell a ton. People are just so excited to go and meet comic book artists and you know, just have a little, you know, geeky day away or whatever, and then you know, it's a 3-day show, and so I'm like, I gotta give this a try, you know. So I'm driving all of 5 hours to get there, which to me is like, oh god. I'm sarcastically saying, I'm sarcastically complaining about this. That's the type of stuff I'm chasing after, and I'm going away from, like, I'm not doing New York Comic Con anymore. Wizard World Philly is not even a Comic Con. You know, it's an entertainment show. And so Awesome Con in DC is probably the biggest show that I do now that I still do well at. So, and that's a show that started off small and was fantastic its first year. And then it grew and it grew and now it's huge, but I still do pretty well at it. So
on the theme of kind of like how things evolve and change, Christina and Jack, when and how did you realize that comics were the optimal medium for what you wanted to do? What was your kind of discovery of the comic medium?
Well, I mean, I've always loved the combination of writing and graphics, and that naturally kind of led me to both graphic design and making comics. I drew a few early comics throughout elementary school, kind of came back to it in high school when I discovered manga and RPGs, and I got inspired by Sailor Moon and Rama 1/2 and all the cool stuff coming out of Japan, Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger and RPGs like that. And I fell in love with comics as a medium because they were a thing I could create 100% with my own skills that really let me tell those fun, epic fantasy type stories, and they were also an outlet for my drawing skills. And then when the internet started taking off, all these great webcomic creators started using it as their own kind of publishing medium and hubs for community. And I got really involved with making my own websites and hopping into forums and chat rooms and LiveJournal and watching everything develop like that. So webcomics are a really special intersection of art and story and community and design for me. And yeah, there's just nothing like them, I don't think.
It's the design aspect is interesting, because for me that's one thing that's like, nope, don't, I can't stand the web design. It scares the crap out of me.
Well, everything has a design. Your website has a design, and I mean, even your interactions that are kind of ruled by the same hierarchy and emphasis that you learn in a design medium. So, I mean, it's worth knowing. It's worth kind of respecting that, because that kind of helps you reach your audience more effectively.
I so want to pick your brain at a later time about all of this. We should have an entire podcast just about design, because you made it sound so cool right then instead of terrifying.
It is fantastic.
I'm with Christina on this one, because I'm a graphic designer too, so that's the thing that I really enjoy about it, is having the ability to just use the imagery, use the text, and use it to convey a message. And I really enjoy, like, for example, the newest book that I just did, Humanescent. I did all the layout, the design, the cover. I mean, I didn't do the art, but I just laid out everything to make it look good. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising how much work goes behind doing that, but it's very satisfying being able to get all of these pieces that everyone has sent to me and actually make it into something that is understandable and visually interesting, and highlighting the great work that they've done and trying to make it look good. And I enjoy everything about comics, but being able to design it is one of the things I really like about it. And the obvious is writing stories and being able to talk a lot, but by typing it instead of saying it. So I like that part.
We have a lot of designers on board now.
Yeah.
Chris and I are both designers too.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also in web too. So.
Oh, yeah, me too. Web as well.
I don't think that's a coincidence. I think web comics kind of draw designers in, because you're using all your skills for these corporate sort of messages and stuff. And at the end of the day, you're like, I know a lot of ways to reach audiences, but I want to do it in a cool, geeky way instead of this boring corporate way.
or in the opposite way, where you always want to draw comics, and then you figure, well, I need a plan B. I have to get a real job, so I'll be a designer.
That's what exactly made me not be the artist I wanted to be inside, as I spend most of my life like saying, I need to do something else. So I focused on graphics, and I'm starting back drawing, because I want to get back into it and be able to have my own webcomic someday, because I love drawing. I just don't get a chance to do it as much as I used to.
Did you guys both go to art school or get a degree in graphic design?
I've got mine in graphic communication, so it was more like web and print design and stuff, but I haven't had any art classes. Like, I didn't go to an art school for that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I went to a normal 4-year college. I got my bachelor's in graphic design, but there were also a lot of drawing and sort of traditional art classes that really helped me out in school. So yeah, that was really fun. Like, actually, my first college professor at school was this huge comic nerd, and I don't even think I would have gotten into comics as much as I did if I didn't have that kind of encouragement, because I was like drawing my own thing, and he would like pick it up and he was like, whoa, this is so cool, you need to get it on the internet or something, and he had like no idea how it worked, but I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. And he would bring in like comic professional friends and stuff that he knew, and start this like comic book club thing, and it was just,
oh, that's awesome. That's,
yeah,
really, that's awesome. that is extremely awesome and way, way unique too, because I went to art school for a year before transferring to a 4-year college. And in art school back in 85, I'm showing my age here, comics were so looked down upon, and if your art professors at your art school, you know, even suspected you liked comics, they would just way, you know, just criticize you for it. It's like, that's not an art form, you know. And But yeah, everybody, all the guys are secretly, you know, on our lunch break going to the local comic book store, you know, reading comics and getting comics and secretly stashing them in our car so our professors couldn't see them.
The contraband under the driver's
seat. And that was really the 1985 was a mecca of comic books. I mean, you had Crisis of Infinite Earths come out. You had Dark Knight come out. You had Watchmen hadn't come out yet. That was still a few years away. But the big Frank Miller was so huge. Ronin had come out. You know, he was such a big name. But Dark Knight hit that time, and that was when it really exploded. And that was when comic books became an art form and not something dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that was a really cool thing because there wasn't a comic curriculum at all at the school, but, like, he could really tell. And, I mean, his comics were completely different from mine, just, like, as different as it could be. And he was still really enthusiastic about it. And you could tell, like, wow, somebody really cares. I think I can actually do this. And, you know, combined with seeing other people on the web starting to put their web comics up in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this one day. I mean, it took a couple of years, but
yeah, I actually didn't get into web until I was actually working at a newspaper, and some people in the newspaper, the print area, where I was a graphic production grunt, so, you know, I was cranking out all those car ads, and one of my buddies like, you know, you gotta get this stuff on the web. I didn't know anything about it. I was like 89, somewhere around there. So yeah, so he was showing me a lot of stuff. I'm like, yeah, your art would be great on the web. And then it took me a couple of years before I started learning HTML. And then once I got into it, I mean, you guys were probably the same thing. It took one of these Saturday night afternoon courses, teach yourself HTML, and I got really into it. I'm like, this is so cool. I don't have to worry about print resolution anymore. This is awesome.
Yeah, oh man.
I can fix it right away.
HTML manual, like manual archives. Oh, geez. Yes. That was my whole life.
Those are the days, the bad old days.
I got a misspelling. Hold. Let me just upload a new file. There you go. It's fixed.
Very nice.
Well, my last question, and both Christina and Jack kind of touched on it, was you both kind of expressed this idea that it's important to find your own personal style, that not everything works for everyone, and a lot of it is about bringing who you are to the table. So how would you define your own personal style?
Personally, mine is approachable. That's my goal. Is I always want, my aim is always to get people who will not initially want to read a comic to open a book and be interested in it. So my style is in writing and my communications, how I post things online and do online marketing is to be approachable, is letting people know, hey, you know, you are part of the journey. You know, your input helps guide the directions of what I do. I ultimately have an idea of where I want to go, but it means nothing if I don't have you on board and wanting to be part of it. So being approachable has always been my way of being unique and being able to get newer people to be involved and wanting to learn more about comics.
Is that incorporated into all, because you do so many different stories, you've got so many different series going on. Is that a common theme through them?
Yeah, it's because if you look at most of the things I write, I'm being approachable, and the theme within my stories is I want all people to be, my goal is to have all kinds of readers. I don't have any specific person in mind. I have all age is in my head. So I write as many stories as I can that can grab as many intersecting people as possible. That's how I write. I write as many intersecting stories as I can so that different people who will not typically open a book will look at something in it that will make them want to be interested in it. And that's always been the way I've worked, is, and I've noticed all the comics that I was interested in had stories that weren't just sci-fi or just this, or had just a specific type of topics. Is it just touches everything, and that's the kind of writing I like, and is the kind of stories I like to write, and it keeps with the theme of being approachable and getting different people to want to be interested in and be part of it.
That's fantastic. Christina, what about you? What would you say is the style of your approach to webcomics and your approach to your work?
Gosh, well, I like to keep it fun. I think that's really important to me. I think there's a lot of doom and gloom on the internet if you look for it. And I just want to be a place where people can have fun, have a lighthearted experience, and really engage that way. As far as social media and stuff is concerned, it's important to me to be present. And I mean, that means both, you know, posting things and then also responding to other people and being excited about their work, because I think that's really what makes them happy to check out yours, and doing fan art for things, telling people you appreciate them. That's all really important to me and integral into kind of this, you know, staying fun, staying friendly, and being there as part of this larger community.
Sort of a intense engagement.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and sometimes that's a little exhausting. I think it's hard to be always on, and I'm on way too many social media places right now.
I know what you mean. Same here.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like, well, Google Plus is going to be dormant for so, but
oh, Google Plus.
Google what?
Google Plus was great. Google Plus was really great until they stopped showing things chronologically. Uh-huh. And you couldn't read things chronologically anymore. And that really bothered me, because I couldn't find anybody's posts anymore. And so, yeah, but that's all right. I mean, there's all kinds of kind of pros and cons to each sort of thing. But I've met so many cool people, and you get to know their work and get to know their stuff and meet them at conventions. And it's just, again, it ties back to the community. The community is really important to me. And it was very important. I mean, I met my husband through a webcomic forum. It just...
No kidding. That's awesome.
I got to hear that story.
Okay, so... So back in the 2000s or so, there was this webcomic called Acid Reflux, and it was about a girl who was like a god, and she had her pet universe, and she actually accidentally got sucked into her pet universe, and it was this little black and white strip format comic. There wasn't really much else out on there on the internet at that time, but it had this nice little forum community, and we would do role play and you know, make our own little original characters to go around and have fun in this world. And yeah, my husband was there, and we hung out a lot, and we chatted a lot, and eventually he moved out to California and we got married.
That actually reminds me of Corey and I, because we bonded over a webcomics RP on a forum as well. Yeah, which was especially good because I had insulted him and then forgotten all about it on our first meeting. So I still to this day cannot remember that interaction, but I have been told about it numerous times.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, guys always remember rejection. So, you
know. It was less a rejection.
But we can remember rejections.
Okay, it was definitely.
Remember back in kindergarten?
I was in a bad place at the time. Because, I mean, you guys are talking about being graphic designers. I was an engineer, and I think deep down I knew I didn't want to be an engineer. But I felt like, same with that, like, you have to get a real job. I thought that was the only option, was engineering, because I was good at math. And my dad was an engineer, and therefore I had to be one. Mm, and Corey
family
and I...
Business.
Huh?
The family business.
Yeah. Ooh, not worth it. But Corey and I ended up at the same table at one of those, you know, meet the campus kind of things. So his parents were there and my parents were there. And Corey was talking to me about how he wanted to be a writer and he just wasn't quite sure about, you know, what he should do and how he should approach things. And so here I am, and I've been doing a webcomic for years at this point, and I am a young, judgmental teenager and therefore an asshole. And apparently, I just turned to him and said, the reason that you don't know what you want to do is because you're lazy.
Oh.
And Corey, yeah, exactly. Corey's dad thought that was amazing. And apparently, on the drive home, he turned to him and went, wow, she's got your number. So, thanks, Corey's dad. Super supportive. And I completely forgot about the whole thing, because my name face recognition is really, really bad. And when I'm stressed, it's even worse. So, I met him through some other friends later, and I could never understand why this handsome young man was constantly glaring at me for no reason. Who does that?
What did I do?
Yeah, exactly. What did I do?
What's this the guy for?
Yeah. So we actually kind of got over that, got to make some new first impressions by both participating in a webcomic online forum-based RPG. So we were kind of able to discover a mutual love of stories and get over that initial horrible first impression.
Yeah. This goes to show you that the internet is the best and meeting people in real life is scary.
Oh god, yes.
The power of comics.
Yes, the power of comics.
Well, I did meet my husband online, but in terms of comics, we have nothing in common in that respect. So we connect on plenty of other things. Like sports or movies or humor or whatever, but comics is my thing. But it's kind of fun to bring him into some of it, you know. And you know, like we watch Walking Dead together, so I'll buy a comic book and share it with him, and he'll read through it. And we can kind of discuss it, and it's just like he'll kind of tiptoe around in the world of comics, but you know, he's not a very creative guy, so the idea of working with him on comics or something is just like, yeah, that's not happening. So, but
what about you guys? Like, so Don, your husband gets it though, like,
yeah,
he understands your need and desire to do comics.
He's it's kind of funny because he's a magnet for a lot of people who are highly, like, obsessively creative. Whether it's musicians or just people that are entrepreneurs, like he has a close friend who's a stand-up comic. He has a close friend who is a musician, and he's the type that will stay up for like 3 or 4 days straight creating music if he's in you know, going in the flow, and he just won't sleep. You know, he'll take whatever he needs to take, whatever drugs or you know, energy drinks or whatever he needs to stay up and create. And so he kind of sees the need to create in some people, and I'm not even that bad. Like I need balance in my life. I would never do that, stay up all night. But he can kind of, I think he gets it that some people have this like powerful urge that they just they need to create something and give back to the world in that way. So, you know, that's good. And I think it's like it's healthy for couples to have their own things. So.
It's interesting because every spouse has kind of a different relationship to the webcomic or comic creator in their life, it seems.
Yeah.
Because Corey and I now are co-writing, and it took us 5 years to get there. It was the only thing we ever used to fight about was writing. We finally cracked the code, though. We figured out how to do it.
Well,
so he definitely gets
it. No comics are involved, no internet's involved, but I did meet my wife at art school that 1 year I was there, and I went off to school, like I said, for 4 years, and then I came back, and then we start when we were in art school together, we were just friends. And then I came back, and then we got into a relationship, and then one of my favorite stories is she was working at a bank. We had a friend who owned a comic book store. We needed part-time work, so he said, come on and work at my comic book store, but you got to know what you're talking about. So I spent the weekend pulling out my comic book collection on our bed and teaching her the Marvel and DC universe. Because I wanted to work at the comic book store. So I was so jealous. And And now our big marriage thing is we love going to comic book movies. So she's huge into. In fact, she likes to brag that when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I was worried. I didn't think it was going to be very good. And she's like, "No, we're going to go see that." And then I end up loving it more than she did.
I told you
you like it.
And my story is my wife actually brought me back into comics, because for the longest I enjoyed comics up into college, and then in college since I had no one else who had any interest whatsoever in comics, so I kind of disappeared out of my life for a little bit. And then my wife, once we got married, she just decided to start learning about comics, and she found some books on comics, and I was like, "Oh, really? You don't know about X-Men? Let me tell you about this." And I started telling her about all the things I knew, and then she started looking at, she didn't care too much about those, but she enjoyed the weird indie ones that I never read. And then I was like, "Okay, let me check these books out." And then she got me into another realm of comics that I didn't know existed, and I attribute that to her helping me come back into comics and seeing the variety there is in comics. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, indies are kind of where I really bonded with comics too. I mean, I got like Spider-Man at the grocery store when I was a kid, but when I found the local comic shop, it was like finding Shangri-La, and you know? I was like, "Oh, this is amazing." And I was always going for like the indie titles that you could, their lifespan was like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then they would die out, and you'd mourn the loss of the storyline never finished. But, you know, I'd buy them every month, just being like, maybe if I buy it, they won't die.
For me, it was manga. So I was following Sailor Moon or Rama 1/2, and it just was, the manga boom hadn't hit yet. And so you were like digging through every comic book shop. Do they have it? No. Okay. What about them? Okay. They have volumes 3 and 7. Okay, we can work with this.
Yeah.
Just like trying to piece together some sort of coherent story, and then you don't know if they flip the art or, oh gosh.
And this is before like Amazon, where you could just, or eBay, where you could just go, boop, doo, there it is, done, buy it. All of it in a case of 5.
I wish somebody would invent that, you know? They need something like that. Man, I would have been, the comics back in the 80s, if they had an internet, boy. I am so glad that they didn't have the internet. My grades would have already been so much in the tank.
Oh, yeah.
My first, I was sort of in the same sort of, I was always a superhero guy, but then back in senior year of my high school, again, 85, depending how you pronounce the either, we always pronounce it Kimiko, or some people pronounce it Comico, but Matt Wagner's Mage is what got me into independent comics. I hit his number 4, and I was like, "Oh, I love this art!" And the same thing. I went to the comic book store, and comic book shops had just started to become huge, big business then. I was always there every weekend in high school. So yeah, that's when all the independents. First comics, the graphic novels had just started. I mean, the big ones, the trade paperbacks, mm-hmm. The X-Men, the Chris Claremont, God Loves Man graphic novel had just come out. So I'm an old timer when I come to all this stuff.
it's pretty crazy how comics can affect your life at different points, and bring you in even now it's not just superhero comics anymore,
It's always been more than that.
It has, yeah. It's just more. I think it's even more so now. But it used to be, a very fringe thing. You know, when underground comics first started becoming bigger and bigger, with R. Crumb and his work and Harvey Pekar's work and stuff.
Yeah.
In the 70s, it was kind of like this fringe thing that I already knew about. You know, like the weird underground band that you would have to go, searching for the right venue, and it's hard to find. But I think nowadays, with like people are starting to realize, like every other TV show is based on comic book. I think people are kind of seeing that, like, wow, I might actually get into reading if it's this. I didn't really care about superhero stuff, but if it's like this, I might like it, you know. And
That's why I laugh at people on the internet who are arguing about stuff that, you know, movies and TV shows. I'm like, you don't understand how great we have it. The 70s and 80s were awful for superhero stuff. I remember the Red Brown Captain America vibrating. I remember all those crap shows.
I'm glad that I was born in 85 and didn't have to go through what you went through.
I know a lot of those movies because I lived in Cameroon, Africa. That's where I was born. So a lot of the shows like came back later. So everybody thinks that, you know, I'm an old soul, but I know a lot of these shows just because I remember seeing them too when I used to see those same shows as well. So I remember that Captain America too.
The Spider-Man when he the rope with the Spider-Man web with a rope and threw it out there and graphics were so bad that they transported it. They did a projector shot on the ground of a building and then he crawled on the floor so it looked like he was climbing up the building. It was so bad. You people don't know how great you have it.
Chris, you really sound like an old man right now.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, all he needs is a get off my lawn and we'll have it complete.
Well, you know, I gotta take uphill both ways.
On the ground, holding my spider web.
Well,
it's good to have you guys on board.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for coming and joining us and being a part of this quirky, weird little group. I've really enjoyed learning more about you, and I hope our listeners are excited to hear all the amazing and new perspectives that you have to bring. And if, you know, as always, listeners, I'm speaking to you, yes, you, right now, listening, if you have any questions for us as a group or for Jock or for Christina and their new experience, feel free to contact us. There's a contact form on the Webcomic Alliance site, or just, you know, tweet at us, Facebook at us, whatever Facebook's thing is that you do to contact people. We're always open to answering your questions or discussing your questions and sharing our experience. So I am Robin Childs, our new host. I do leylinescomic.com. It's my comic, and I also do editing, coaching, and illustration. You can find all that stuff at mocopress.com.
I'm Chris Flick, and get off my lawn! And you can find my stuff at capesandbabes.com and on Facebook and all over the place. So check me out.
I'm Dawn Griffin of DawnGriffinStudios.com, previously ZFComics.com. And yeah, you could find me online somewhere. I'm wandering.
And I'm Jock Niem for Not So Super Comics. And you can find my stuff on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, at NotSoSuperComics.com.
And I'm Christina Major, and I'm the author and creator of Sombulus, and you can find that at sombulus.com.
Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Yay!
Woo! Woo!
Ah! Survived!
Waka, waka, waka.